Hello, guys, and welcome to The Nacho Show. Today, we're talking about a very important issue. Local libraries have inappropriate books. It's true. Many public libraries are stocked with books that contain obscene language and graphic images for our children. This isn't appropriate for them whatsoever, and it's time to do something about it. Another question to add here would be, how come local school district leaderships don't do anything to stop this? Why do they get upset when parents bring this garbage to their attention? This should be stopped right now. We will talk about this here and more at The Nacho Show. All right, and welcome to The Nacho Show, folks. And it is September 8, 2022. No China virus so far. Everything is nice. I'm healthy and I'm good. So, we're approaching pretty much to the end of the year. And it has been a fantastic year. And I'm so happy and glad that everything is going well. And today, we're going to talk about this obscene books in the libraries. And today I'm joined by Brooke Stevens, who's leading the charge to get these offensive books removed from our libraries. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you see, my intro, definitely a rhythm will get you, you know? So.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Anyway. Well, thanks, Brooke. I met you recently at a really nice setting with Mike Lee, and you showed me some material. I looked it over, you know, a little bit, you know, the few pages that you showed, and your explanation about the movement and what's behind it and everything like that. And I saw this very interesting, and I thought that this, you know, definitely have to be known by people. And that's, you know, one of the many reasons why I brought you here. So welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm always excited to get the word out and let people know, because the media can't publish what's really out there. They would be charged.
Oh, wow. So, this is an independent podcast, obviously owned by me. What was that?
I'm like, you can, the media won't, first off, the general media, you can. So to clarify.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, let's talk about first, a few things. Also, you are a member of, the Utah Parents United, which we will go ahead and talk more about that. And also, there's another Facebook page. I think it's Miss Vernal
or Laverna.
Laverna. Yeah, there you go.
Library.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go by parts. Okay. So go ahead and introduce yourself first, and just tell our audience who you are and your background, and why did you decide to take action.
Well, I moved to Utah 2 years ago from California, where I was fighting against the sex ed programs there. And I was reading all the sex ed programs where they talked about, have you warned your listeners yet that if they have kids nearby, that maybe they...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. One thing that I am going to warn everybody before we continue further with this podcast, and thank you so much for the reminder, Brooke, I appreciate it. And I'll just go ahead and put myself here. There will be images that we are going to be showing in this episode that may be disturbing to some audiences. So please use your judgment and your discretion. So you are advised ahead of time if any of these things that we're about to show you bothers you, and I apologize. But this has to be known to the public. Because, well, I mean, it's not like a graphic content, but it's just pieces of books that have been discovered in libraries here in the state of Utah, in the local libraries. These books are very obscene and not suitable for children. So if you have children around, please make sure that you use any like earplugs or anything like that. And then that way, yeah, kids won't hear this. So anyway, viewer discretion is advised. Okay. So anyway.
Okay. So when I was first getting involved in California, reviewing all of the curriculum that they were wanting to give to kids there, they would mention terms that I had never heard of. And I was like, what? This is crazy. And I'd have to go look it up. And things that I didn't even know existed. And so I had, you know, been fully immersed in that. I felt like I already understood it. Things wouldn't shock me anymore. I'd already was familiar with sex addiction because of other people in my life, and that it's not only porn, but there's different types of porn that are worse. It's like, oh, that's just porn, but there's this type of porn. Right. And so just, I was familiar with a lot of the terrible things in the world. And I thought, I can handle this, you know? So I was reviewing the books and going through them and stuff. And then I'm like, don't worry, I've been desensitized. I can read it, I'll be okay. And so as I was going through all of these book excerpts, this darkness just came where I would be literally sobbing for hours. I would have to go by myself in a car in a field where I could cry loud and not scare my kids. And so then I just realized, I'm like, I can't take this. I haven't been desensitized, which is a really good thing. But it is so dark, and that even, you know, I've been called a pearl clutching prude. And so I'm like, well, how about you come view this and see how it affects you? Because stuff is really evil, and it affects your soul. And for us to give it to kids who don't have that life experience, because my background was in reviewing all of these horrible sex ed things. Yeah. It's not fair. It's not responsible. It's not just. And we have to stand up and say, this isn't okay. And most people who are semi-defending it, I wonder if they have really looked at it themselves. And so above everything that I would encourage anyone to do that you get from this is go to ratedbooks.org and go to where it says books and just browse through the fours. Mm. We're going to show some of those today. But say, hey, is this something you would want to read aloud to your kids? Would you want? Because the difference between books and other media, there's two main differences, is books are private. And nobody else is viewing it with you. But if you're in a movie theater and you're like, oh, everyone else is listening to this, can you read the book aloud to somebody else? And a lot of these scenes involve minors, explicit sexual detail with minors, which they wouldn't even be able to show in a movie theater. And so you can't really compare it, because there is no way some of these things would make it into a movie theater. And the other difference is that movie theaters are a private industry, whereas most books are distributed in the public, in this public sector. So whether it's public schools or the public libraries, therefore, because it's a private industry for movies, they have created this rating system, because otherwise they wouldn't get customers coming to them. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I don't know what this movie's going to show. I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
They're smart enough that they need to know ahead of time. So thank goodness the private industry is controlling that. So therefore they can put the ratings on. But with books, the public sector controls it. And so there has been this narrative that's been declared and passed on, which is totally erroneous. But because it's been historically accepted, people are afraid to challenge it. That's what the school districts are afraid to challenge it. People are like, well, because they've believed this for so many years, it must be true. It's not true. The case that they used to defend this, PICO, it's a Supreme Court case. It was actually just an opinion by three justices. And their opinion was that school districts can remove vulgar material, but it's been misinterpreted and mispreached, I guess, that you can't take it out because of PICO. But we have a 12-page document and analysis of it that shows that it's the opposite. So, but because people haven't studied it for themselves, they don't see this. They're just buying into the status quo and they're perpetuating it, which is a big part of the problem. The other case that's being used is there's the Miller test, and that's a 1970. I hope I'm not misquoting myself. I apologize in advance.
No, you're fine.
Misquoting the facts. So I encourage everyone to research. But it's a 1973 porn case in California that deals with the distribution of pornography, whether it's through mail or whatever. It didn't have anything to do with school districts. And the other thing is, in 1973, pornography wasn't yet understood to be the addictive stimulant that it is. Therefore, it's like saying we need to let kids be able to choose if they want vodka or choose if they want cigarettes at school.
Wow.
And let's go out and say, here's all this pornography, which is addictive. And for pornography recovery centers for teens, they cost about $12,000 a month. And parents have paid for pornography addiction. So to have kids who have, and I know the parents and the kids who this has happened to, kids who have a pornography addiction, they go to the school, their parents have paid, you know, well over $100,000 to cure this, and they can have free access to pornography. I spoke with a man at the Utah Coalition Against Pornography this last session in the spring, and he said that his son went to his public school and checked out every single book that had was pornographic. And he had read them all. And his son was trying to recover from pornography. This was in Utah. And so obviously, it's not a safe place for kids. Schools say, hey, we want to be a safe place for kids. Well, they're not. If they really wanted to be a safe place, then they would at least, at the very least, label these books so kids who do have a pornography addiction and want to stay away from it can. It's not fair for them to stumble upon it. And then there's the argument that people say, well, you know, we can't label the books because then all the kids will run to those books once they're labeled. And I had my son, who was a senior last year, and I said, hey, can you go check out all of these books at the school? And he went out and he did it. And kudos to him for being brave. And his friends saw the books and they're like, oh, that's that book. That's that. They knew that these books were inappropriate without a sticker, without anything. It was just my son carrying them around. They already knew word of mouth these books. And that's the funny thing with administrators, that they're, I remember causing a fuss about the sex ed curriculum the school was using in California. And they said, well, you know, we just brush right over this topic and nobody says anything and nobody talks about it and it's not a big deal. And I was like, oh yeah, well then how did I know the day before it was going to be taught? It's because all the kids talk about it and they were circulating this, told my son who told me. And it's just like, they know exactly what is here, and it is so dangerous and irresponsible for schools to do this. They think, oh no, we're supporting the minority community. Well, how insulting is that to say that the minority community has to have this obscene material as part of the definition of who they are? Yes, maybe they've experienced it, but there is, if you compare the Bible with this graphic, explicit content that is in these books, the Bible is very, very discreet, and it doesn't give the details that are given in these books, which make these, even in rated R NC-17 movies, I haven't watched an NC-17 movie, so maybe I can't speak to that, but it doesn't give the amount of explicit detail, like on how to give a blowjob. You know, they're like trying it out. What are they doing? This is in a book in my junior high school. And so these two characters were trying to figure out how to do it, you know, and they're sitting there and blah, blah, blah. And all the, you get everything. They're like, now what do I do? Oh, let's ask our friend. And so the friend came over and she demonstrates, and they're like, this is totally appropriate for a junior high school. And I was like, okay, it's time to go. No time. There, I can see where you are at now, because it's really a barometer of where the, you know, the values that they're intending to pass on to our kids.
Wow, unbelievable. And this definitely is happening. So when we were talking before going live, I don't know, you know, I'm a dad, you know, I'm a dad and I have three children. My children go to the library a lot, you know, they love books and everything. And, you know, I used to just sit down, you know, on one of those comfy couches and let my kids go and pick up whatever they want. But now seeing this information and hearing what you're saying, it's like, oh my gosh, no, like now I'm like right next to them and see what exactly they're picking. It just makes me want to like counterattack. And a pretty funny thing is that that I mentioned earlier is that, okay, so why don't I just go with my kids, see the book, look for the book that's bad, steal it, get it out of there, and, you know, burn it. So, right? Wouldn't that be a nice solution?
Yes, it would be awesome. But, you know, they would buy 10 more copies. And everybody would donate to it if they don't know what it is. So it's really a public recognition that has to happen that, hey, this is inappropriate. And having people stand up, because really we're losing a valuable access to a valuable resource. Because if we stop trusting libraries and we stop going to libraries, our kids don't get to use that. And I'm in the same boat as you are. Like, I used to go to the library all the time, and now I'm like, I have to pre-read every book because of these agendas that are being slipped into the newest books that are so eye-catching. My kids love the graphic novels. And I'm like, okay, what is in there? Or getting to know the author. Or I remember reading Judy Blume when I was younger, and one of her books is a terrible book. So it's not even, it's like you still have to get to know, it's called Forever, that her book that I'm referencing. But and there are good librarians out there. I have a librarian who, you know, really hates this and wants to get it out, and she's all for it, especially, and she wants to give kids the best books to read. And so I really don't like that it's giving libraries and librarians such a bad rap. It's not fair that the ALA has been teaching librarians what they need to do, when in fact that is hurting their profession and making the public not trust them anymore. And, you know, because in 1996, they adapted their Library Bill of Rights so that they will not discriminate based on age, meaning that a kid of any age can have any level of obscenity. And yet, even though this goes against obscenity laws, federal obscenity laws, the federal government gives them tons of money in federal grants. And so what I would love is if the federal government said, hey, if you're advocating for breaking federal laws, then maybe you shouldn't receive grants. And also, the ALA is the one who accredits all of the library programs in our universities. So they're passing on this information of freedom, which means give kids, all kids can privately, without the knowledge of their parents, because they won't disclose which books their children are checking out, even to the parent. When the parent is legally responsible, so let's say a kid is checking out books on bombs and guns, and the parent is legally responsible for whatever that kid does. They can be taken to civil court, criminal court for not retaining their child. But if they don't have access to what their kid is reading, how can they possibly do that? And so it really goes against, you know, parents' rights to help their children learn and grow and understand topics. And if kids aren't given the right to smoke or to vote or to drive, then that's saying that minors are minors for a reason. It's because they still need direction and they still need help processing things that are very difficult, like all of these books on sexual assault and rape. And it's just, it's unconscionable for the library, the ALA, to justify their procedures and their Bill of Rights.
Correct. And okay, now thanks so much for this information. Now, You sent me a couple of images, and which I appreciate you sending those. When I was reading them, I found them super, super disgusting, and I cannot believe that those type of books are in libraries. And I will go ahead and show them here. I'm gonna just show a couple of them, so that's why I mentioned that viewer discretion is advised. So while I prepared to show them, how did you find these books, and where did you find them?
Well, as Utah Parents United, I'm on the board, and so we occasionally get emails from parents just saying what problems there are. So a parent had sent in screenshots of a book, and mm-hmm. I had posted it, and I was like, what? This is in the libraries in Utah? Uh-huh. And I was so shocked. And so then I got together a list, went to a conference, got a list, learned how to search the libraries. Anybody can do it. It's online. Mm-hmm. And I found about 85 books on this list that someone had given me in my daughter's junior high school. And so I sent it to the principal. I'm like, hey, did you know this is here? You might want to do something about it. He's like, okay, thanks. We'll get on it. So mm-hmm. then I sent my neighbor in, her son, to say, try and check the books out, because I wanted to see if it was really true. And he checked them out. They were still there. And so then the principal immediately emailed me and said, oh yeah, well, actually there's a process you have to do. So I said, okay. And I started filling out forms and challenging the books, and all of them were retained. And none of them were taken out of the school. And
wow.
So, yeah, I was kind of a guinea pig. I didn't know how to do it. I was just like blindly feeling my way about, because I just thought you tell them and they didn't know. And, you know, how can you possibly read every single book? So I just thought it was an accident. Mm-hmm. But they justified it. 8 teachers and librarians and principals read the book, and they said, this is okay.
Oh my goodness. Well, I really hope I don't get in trouble by showing this picture, but this is not like images. This is pornographic literature, basically. And I mean, if you're watching this on video on YouTube, you'll be able to see what it says. I kind of refuse to read it because it's very, very graphic in nature. This piece was found at a local library here in Utah, right?
Multiple districts across Utah, this book. And it's still there.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. In the schools.
So for those that are listening on audio only, I guess, oh my gosh, well, I don't know if I want to read this, but yeah, it is definitely of a very...
They can go read it online at ratedbooks.org and go to books and
okay.
check the book Push by Sapphire. And if you click on Slick Sheets, you can see there's many pages of all of this. Mm-hmm. Page 99 and page 50 is what's being shown.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Thanks so much. So folks, all right. So, you know, a little bit of, okay. I condemn local authorities and local governments for allowing this piece of crap in schools, seriously. And guys, this is what is being shown to our children. Is this appropriate? I mean, if you can see this picture that I'm showing you here right now, do you think your 7-year-old that's learning how to read, is this appropriate for them to read? Please tell me about it. This piece of crap should be burned. And the individual that wrote this crap definitely has to be charged. This person needs to be in jail. Because writing this stupidity, this nonsense, does that make sense? I mean... obviously, I'm an adult, and I have a wife, and obviously I do have my sexuality, and I am a responsible individual with what I do with my sexual identity and whatever it is. I'm a straight man, so you know, but I'm an adult, and I think, and I'm responsible, and even that, even speaking about that sense, reading this piece of crap is definitely not appropriate for children. I mean, if you're talking about sexual education, you know, sure, you know, you can. There are books that are medically approved in order to teach a sexual education, but this really is bad. And seriously, these school districts in the local area, they are allowing this garbage into schools. They're not in there for the people. They're them for themselves and their own gain. And they're serving the devil, which is the master of all lies. Please take this off the libraries. Seriously. This is awful. This is bad. And I think I'm going to have to remove this from the screen because, yeah, I am beyond upset. If any of you read what this page says, and I have other pages right here that I've been passed through, and really, I really don't want to show them because I don't think these people should deserve any more of my airtime here on my show. Those people should be in jail. Those that wrote those books should be in freaking jail and serving eternal service. Yeah. You know.
And they should also include in that the publishers for not rating. Like, it would be really great for them to rate themselves, but because it's a publicly controlled industry, I'm not sure how that would happen. But one of the reasons that the school districts don't remove it, there is a school district that has removed all of the worst books and without mm-hmm. challenges. Right now, my school district has just created a policy where we can challenge these books, and they may mm-hmm. or may not, with their own group and librarian, choose to remove them. So I have to see what they're actually going to do with the policy, because even though we got a law passed in Utah saying that, because there's a federal obscenity law, but in 43 states, there's an obscenity loophole so that librarians and educational institutions can bypass and not listen to the obscenity law. And that is for educational purposes. It was intended for like biology books and books on family science or study or the David statue. And so that those things wouldn't be taken out of the classroom. And in Texas, the AG has said that, hey, this application of the obscenity loophole for educational institutions only applies to curriculum. It doesn't apply to libraries where they self-select the material, mm-hmm. which is an interesting take. I hadn't heard that before. And but I welcome these fresh perspectives where they're saying how damaging the status quo has been for perpetuating this, giving obscenity and justifying it to kids. I think one of the most mm-hmm. dangerous arguments is that a lot of people buy into, especially when the ACLU gets involved, is that it's their First Amendment right in to view this. And that's not accurate either, because it's not a First Amendment right that you have at your disposal every single book on every that's ever been written in your library. Mm-hmm. There's not the ability to put all of those books in there. And so these people listen to the argument and say, oh yeah, we have to preserve the Constitution. We have to do this. And it's like, this is not being, the First Amendment is being upheld. It's a right to express yourself, not to have every single book that's ever been written.
Right. Gosh, definitely something needs to be done here, Brooke, and I'm there with you. And I really keep encouraging you and your organization to keep fighting to get this out of the library. So we'll go ahead and go to a commercial break here. And then when we'll be back, I would like for you to talk to us more about the UTAP parent and how we can find you guys and all of that good stuff. All right. Great. And remember, guys, you are at The Natcher Show, and we will be right back.
Nacho Graphics is a professional graphic design company that offers unlimited graphic design services to small, medium, and large businesses. We pride ourselves on providing high-quality, affordable design services that are customized to meet the specific needs of our clients. Our team of talented designers is passionate about creating unique, eye-catching designs that will help your business stand out from the competition. Whether you need a new logo or marketing materials, we will work with you to create a custom solution that fits your needs and exceeds your expectations. At Nacho Graphics, we understand that each company has different graphic design needs. That's why we offer an unlimited graphic design service that can be customized to fit the specific needs of your business. We believe that great design should be accessible to all businesses, regardless of size. So, if you're looking for a graphic design company that can provide you with high-quality custom designs at an affordable price, look no further than Nacho Graphics. Contact us today to learn more about our unlimited graphic design services and how we can help your business grow. Check out our website, www.nachographics.com, or call 801-869-0523.
As a small business owner, you know that having a website is crucial to your success. But what you may not know is that designing and developing a website can be expensive. That's where Solidify Web comes in. Solidify Web offers affordable website design and development that will produce a website that is clean and tailored to fit your business needs. Plus, we offer search engine optimization services to help you obtain top rankings for your desired search terms, driving qualified leads to your site. Creating a website for your business is one of the most important things you can do in today's economy. Your website is your storefront and first impression for many potential customers. It is crucial that you have a clean, fresh, and well-designed website that represents your business the best way possible. We can create a stunning website for you that is both easy to use and navigate and ranks high in search engines. Contact us today to learn more about how we can help you take your business to the next level. As a physician, Dr. Robinson personally treated thousands of patients for their accident-related injuries, and as such, has an in-depth understanding of your physical complaints and injuries. It was at this time that Dr. Robinson discovered the difficulties of dealing with auto insurance companies. We know how difficult it can be for someone to handle their own case. Our personal injury law firm is dedicated to helping others navigate the difficulties involved in auto accident injuries, slip and fall injuries, brain injuries, trucking accidents, dog bite injuries, pedestrians and wrongful death cases. Why handle it alone? You can now have a law firm with not only legal experience, but also medical experience. Our attorneys and staff are focused on achieving the best possible outcome for you. Get what you deserve. At the Robinson Injury Law, you will be able to speak directly with your attorney. You may be just a number with other law firms and auto insurance companies, but at Robinson Injury Law, your case is our priority. Robinson Injury Law. Helping accident injury victims is all we do. Call today for a free consultation to see if you have a case. Utah 801-845-HURT 48.
And welcome to the Nacho Show. This is Ignacio Valdez from the beautiful Ogden, Utah. And I've got here my friend Brooke Stevens from Utah Parents United. And well, I really hope those commercial break didn't make you fall asleep. So, but we are back. Yeah, we really need good sponsors here. And it's what makes us, you know, breathe, you know, to bring this show. So thank you so much for all of your patience here. So now, Brooke, you are from the Utah Parents United, and also go ahead. Well, I really want to talk about Laverne, but it's a pretty interesting, you know, lady. I think I read a little bit about her, but talk to us more about Utah Parents United. What you guys do? When did you guys start this? So can you give us a little bit more background with that?
Yeah, Corinne Johnson, she started it in 2020. When she was fighting against masks for kids to go into schools. And Nicole moved here from Nevada, Nicole Mason, and she joined her in September. And then I moved out in October and I joined with them. And then we have gotten other parents of, and Emily. Anyway, we've got different members who are all kind of united in the same causes, because I joined because of the sex ed program. That my work with that in California, and I found out some things that were going on in Utah. So I said, okay, I'll help with that. And so we all just began working together, and it just kind of worked. So
nice. And when did you say you guys started this?
2020.
So it's fairly new.
Yeah. Summer that's awesome. 2020.
That is fantastic. Good for you guys. Well, and what other endeavors have you guys worked on, you know, since you guys started this organization?
Well, if you look on our website at utahparentsunited.org, you can see that our main focus is to educate and empower parents to advocate for their children so that they know what are the issues, how do they talk to people about it. And we really advocate for parents to be professional and persistent and informed so that they can go and have these build relationships with their administrators, with their schools, and understand it well enough that they can see the places that might need attention and where they can make the most change. Because if you understand the laws and you have that on your side and you can use it to back up what you know must happen, then you are a lot more powerful. So we really help parents to understand the laws that they can use to protect their families and their children.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's fantastic. Definitely a great thing to be involved. If any of you would like to learn more about this wonderful organization, please reach out to Brooke Stevens. I think I didn't add another S in there, but yeah, I apologize. Nice. Go to utahparentsunited.com.
.org.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, .org. And then that way you guys will be able to know more. Now, talk to us about Laverne. What is Laverne? I'm so curious about that. So how did you come up with that?
Oh, well, when I went to this conference to find the list of books that they had said was questionable, and found out how to search, they already had a website called Mary in the Library, and she had already posted all of these books and reviews. And I thought, oh, I need to share this with other parents. Uh-huh. But all the comments were based in Indiana. And so I created my own, and I didn't know if she'd want me to use the name Mary. So I chose Laverna, and called it Laverna in the Library, Utah's Mary in the Library. And I began forwarding her posts on the book to Utah so we could say, where is it in our state? Does this affect us? Because for parents, it really has to be local. Is this affecting my kid? Is it in my kid's school? And then they really start to get involved, which is what we need from parents. So if you can show that it's local, it's affecting their child, it's in their library, you have a better chance of increasing the numbers that you need in order to cause change.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And that's a fantastic effort. So Laverne, who was Laverne?
Well, she's fictitious.
Oh, she's fictitious. Oh,
I posted a picture of her younger years. I think I confused people, but if you notice, she's pearl clutching. So that was just a joke of like, I'm a pearl clutching prude. So this is me in my younger years when I used to fear you. Oh. they use name calling to make people scared. And I'm just like, no, that's all they've got. You've got the truth on your side. You just show them what's in the books. They can call you whatever you want, but there's no way that this is right for kids. Just take a look at the images for yourself. And so I just am hoping people get over being called names, because then they can really get in their power, because it's not even accurate what they post, like a pearl clutching prude. Yeah. Well, okay. Well, how about you have no idea who I am, but
and you know, I totally get it, but it is not that you're being prude, you know, and I guess I'm going to speak here for myself. I mean, because I don't know, you know, it is not that we're being prude or anything like that. It's just a matter of common sense. You know, children are not prepared for those type of situations, or they don't supposed to hear those things. Children need to be children. They need to learn the ABCs. They need to learn basic math. They need to learn basic reasoning, you know, so they can confront the problems of the real world. Wouldn't you agree with that? So sex education, sure, yeah, it is important, you know, because, you know, one day you'll get married or you will have a sexual partner, and obviously you need to, you know, make sure, you know, what the other person feels and what you feel and her needs, my needs, you know, whatever, you know, and I'm being completely open here because, you know, we do have our sexual partners, and obviously, you know, we have to live in harmony with our natural abilities. You know what I'm trying to say here. So this type of thing, and also you can, you know, like rebuttal on that if you would like, I don't know, but it is my opinion, you know, about this, you know what I mean? So, but talking to children and about situations like this, it's just, you are perverting a child if you talk about what mommy and daddy do behind doors, you know.
It's grooming. It really is grooming. I mean, it's what the FBI has defined as to normalize talking about sexuality with children is grooming behavior to prepare them for, you know, they can't even consent under the age of, maybe it's 16 in Utah, but don't quote me. But they can't even consent. So you can't, it's preparing them to be sexually active, and with, you know, having adults bring that in is grooming behavior. So.
Right. And unfortunately, and I'm going to get political here because it's all about a political agenda. This is the work of the left. Okay. And some people would say it's not about left or right. It is more about good versus evil. And you see who is embracing the evil and who is perpetrating it. Does that make sense? We have a president that gave a very hateful speech. And in the whole history of the United States, it has, something like that has not been heard. And, you know, I'm an immigrant, of course, you know, and maybe I have not, well, I have been here since 2003, you know, and obviously I followed the news and also researched, you know, beforehand, and no other president has talked like this before. So what does that tell you? So if one thing that I came to a realization, and this I'm going to say very openly, or maybe it could be a little bit off topic here. Our enemies, they want us to be weak. They want us to be weak. And they're infiltrating our nation and our culture to make it weak, to make it disappear, to make it fall. And that is something that we cannot allow. And I congratulate you and your team for what you guys have been doing in schools. And because education is power. Education is power. Information is power. And if you infiltrate in the educational system, then you have the bull by the horns. And then if you apply enough force, then you can make that fall. So we need to be really, really careful with the educational system. And, you know, because if you're able to change the mind of people, especially children, and children will grow up with those stupid perspectives, mm-hmm. and they will make bad decisions, and they will grow up being useless adults that they don't want to work, or they will just be addicted, you know, to pornography or to things that are not good for their mind and soul, then they're going to be weak. They will not want to go through society. And that's what the enemy wants.
And they also feel so much shame. I mean, part of pornography addiction is you feel shame and you want to hide it and you don't feel worthy. And you really need to come out and say, hey, I, you know, this makes me feel dark and I read it and just say, I'm working through this. You need to remove it. I mean, so some of the sex addicts that I know, they would call ahead to the hotel and they'd be like, hey, you have to turn the porn out of my hotel room because I know I'm not strong enough to go and have that there. Mm-hmm. And knowing that, I mean, even talking to people about, hey, people talk about it with drinking, you know, I'm addicted to alcohol. I can't go to the bar. Sorry. Maybe they know themselves and they can go. I don't know, but you really have to say, hey, this is not okay for those kids who are addicted to porn and trying to stop, that they know it's in the schools and they can get it there, even though everything else might be in lockdown. And, you know, we have to help kids know how damaging this is and that they can work through it, make it more of an issue with them and say, hey, yeah, this is going to hurt your relationships. Utah came out with a resolution declaring the dangers of pornography and how it damages relationships. And men are no longer are able to have an erection because they are so used to porn. So they have to take all these, you know, pills, all the ED dysfunction billboards that you see going down I-15. And, but it really has an impact on everyone around you.
I agree. And definitely thank you so much for being here today and talk to us more about these endeavors. And we have a couple of minutes left. So I just would like to say something here. This definitely is an open space for anybody that that has been otherwise suppressed by the media or trying to share information. This is a war. This is a war, ladies and gentlemen. This is a fight that we have to continue. And I will stand by you, Brooke. Definitely. I will stand by you shoulder to shoulder to combat this nonsense and to combat this that is afflicting us in our society. We don't want our beautiful country to be diminished, and because those that want to make it fall, they are trying really, really hard, and the devil is very despicable, and he will not rest, not even a second. But guess what? We are not going to let him win. And we will not, and we'll be there together to combat this. So great job, fantastic things that you're doing, you and your team. Keep up the great work, and we will go ahead and see you guys next time. Thank you, Brooke. I appreciate it. And don't forget, a couple of things for you guys to take into account. It's, you said ratedbooks.com, so you can take a look. Okay. Ratedbooks.com. And also don't forget Utah Parents United. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here today. Thank you, Brooke. And we will see you guys next time. And remember, this is The Nacho Show.